Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estacio's conference call to discuss the first quarter of 2015 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.estacioparticipasois.com.br/ir, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will only be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Rogério Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Rogério, you may proceed.
Well, thank you, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference of our results for the first quarter 2015. I have here with me Mr. Virgilio Gibbon, our CFO, and also our IR team. I'd like to remind you that we will open up for questions and answers at the end of the presentation. Starting by showing slide number two of our presentation, which is also available on our website. Over the past years, we have shown this graph representing our history several times, both to internal and external audience. As we always highlight, we had a long phase of our history, which began back in 1970 and lasted until the arrival of GP Investimentos in 2008, when we began the huge turnaround by the company under GP's management. At the same time, we had the discipline to keep our company in an almost stable level in terms of size and complexity, so we could build a number of fundamentals that currently support our business. From 2011 onwards, we began a phase of solid growth, which coincided with several tailwinds, as you can see in the third box on the slide. While we were aware and actually recognized that part of our evolution came from these external factors, we never agreed with the theory that they were the key elements that drove our success. A deeper reading of the fourth box in the graph, which deals with the uncertain future, clearly shows that we always had our doubts about this favorable scenario, including a big question mark right next to the PS. Our rationale is that just as it wouldn't make sense to seek growth at the cost of the evolution we achieved in non-financial variables, such as academic quality, student satisfaction, and processes control, we also knew we could not rely our strategy on factors that are not under our control, because we knew that this scenario could change at any moment. That's why we have adopted a strategy that seemed conservative to the ones looking more to the short term. There were less acquisitions, less news headlines, less awards and recognitions, less surprises, less FIES, less Pronatec, but at the same time, we had more organic growth, more standardization, more organizational culture, more differentials, more risk control, more processes, more innovation, more people aligned to our principles, more non-financial results, more branding, and so forth. In this context, whenever questioned about whether we intend to change our strategy due to the perfect storm, our reply is always, "No, we don't." As a matter of fact, we think that if it were necessary to change our entire strategy due to the changes in the external scenario, it would be because we did not have any strategy at all. After all, strategy should not be created to anticipate or to guess the future, but rather to put the company in a position to pursue its goals in the long run, regardless of changes in the scenario. Moving on to slide number three, we will talk a little bit about this strategy. On previous occasions, we have also used it as a reference, author Jim Collins, the business scholar who separates successful companies from peers that, at some point in time, had a better performance and drew more attention than the winning companies, which Collins calls 10x or 10 times companies. To illustrate his views in the book Winners by Choice, the author uses several examples from the non-business world. Maybe the most used case is the case of explorers Roald Amundsen and Robert Scott, who in the beginning of the 20th century tried
almost simultaneously
to become the first man to reach the extreme south of the planet.
The Norwegian
Amundsen ended up winning the dispute, and together with his team, reached the target
34 days before the arrival.
While Amundsen returned to his base to celebrate the achievement with all his team members alive and well,
Scott and his group
did not reach the end of their journey, perishing due to extremely critical weather conditions. According to Cody,
there are several factors that distinguish the two groups, but these are the main three. One, the extreme planning level Amundsen adopted, as he deeply studied and thoroughly prepared for the process. Two, a military discipline to execute the plan, which has one of its key features, the adoption of a steady pace for daily progress, not abusing the good days to cover more ground and thus saving energy for the bad days, and then using this extra oxygen to keep the pace on conditions were not so good. And number three, an obsession, almost a paranoia, in relation to the things that could go wrong during the expedition, which could eventually cost the lives of the entire group. The sentence at the bottom of the slide perfectly sums up Collins' opinion about the so-called 10 times leaders, who never trust their fate to what they cannot control. In this context, any resemblance to the recent Fies case cannot be considered a simple coincidence. This is Stas' strategy. First, a lot of planning and focus on the long term. Second, an enormous discipline combined with a lot of managerial techniques to methodically and patiently follow the steps previously defined, without neither looking for shortcuts nor being tempted by opportunities that arise. And third, always behaving in an obsessive way to anticipate what might go wrong at some point. We can see the results stemming from this strategy on the following slides. Starting with slide 4, where we can see our growth. 13 quarters in a row of consistent EBITDA growth and margin expansion, without ups and downs, without shortcuts, and consecutive record high intake cycles, both on the on-campus and on distance learning segments. This was basically all organic, with the support of our series of medium and small-sized acquisitions, which, slowly and with a limited level of risk, increase our growth potential. The growth discipline, combining organic expansion with acquisitions, brought us to the map on slide 5, which shows the national coverage we achieved. Our financial and operational results also draw attention, since we achieved all that in just 5 years without exposing the company to risks and complexity and while preparing it for the future. At the same time, we kept increasing our capacity, as you can see on slide number 6. Just in the past 6 months, we opened 6 new campuses in the cities of Belo Horizonte, Recife, São Paulo, Salvador, one new campus and another one expanded, and Fortaleza, where we opened our 4th building. We must mention that this organic expansion, besides increasing our capacity and allowing for a health growth pace, helps us to gradually reposition our brand, since the new units are built according to the modern parameters used by Estácio, already taking into account several guidelines for infrastructure, layouts, technology, and service level. We also maintain our discipline when it comes to inorganic growth, as you can see on slide 7, concluding acquisitions that have proven to be right choices and which have rapidly become important in our growth process. It is interesting to highlight that Estácio itself, after GP's arrival back in 2008, can be seen as a large sequence of acquisitions and integrations, and then standardization, centralization, expansion, growth, and margin expansion. At that point, all of our units had to go through this entire process, and now, with a duly organized company and the learning curve at an advanced stage, we are ready to keep doing acquisitions and integrating the assets within a certain pace, which basically means to repeat what we've been doing so far, but now in a much more controlled and less risky environment. In recent months, we concluded excellent acquisitions for Estácio. Uniceb, IESAN in Belém, Literatus in Manaus, and CEUT in Teresina. And we intend to follow with the same discipline in the coming years. Aligned to our long-term plan, which we revised in 2012, we remain firm expanding our continuing education area, as you can see on slide 8. The new area recorded a net revenue 284% higher than in the same period last year, moving from 13.9 million reais in first quarter 14 to 53.4 million reais in first quarter 15. We can also see the EBITDA evolution, which increased by more than 5,000%, reaching 17.9 million reais. This area is responsible for the new grad segment, which posted organic growth of 141% of its student base, boosted by the new intake process to the intake center and by the intake center and by the new grad partnership network, which expands our distribution through our partners. We must also highlight the partnership with Harvard Business Publishing, which is a big differential. Another front of this area is Academia do Concurso, which continues to grow by opening new branches in other states, and more recently by entering the distance learning segment. We should also mention the short-term programs. Through the Você Aprende Mais, You Learn More portal, we offer a broad portfolio of courses in a wide range of subjects. One of the highlights is the PROAB, a preparatory course for the Brazilian Bar Association exam, which has its own portal and conveys every information related to the exam. The corporate solutions area develops customized education solutions to large private and public companies operating nationwide. In the past months, we signed important new clients such as Natura, Deloitte, and Sebrae. Technical courses encompass Pronatec, which reached 17,500 students in this first quarter. Pronatec offers us an opportunity to both improve our campus occupation and ship it with greater spark capacity, and to strengthen our brand with the high school public interested in pursuing a technical career. Besides, we believe Pronatec students could become, in the near future, regular students in our undergraduate programs. While we grew in all these different fronts, we remained diligently building our differentials, as you can see on slide number 9, as we have been communicating to the market for some time now. Among the several initiatives, it is worth to highlight the branding project, which reinforced our institutional positioning through our brands. The Espaço Navi, which among other things launched the Startup Navi program, an incubator aimed at developing entrepreneurship among our students and alumni. The corporate university, called Educari, which is already fully functional and is available to our faculty and administrative staff, helping us to prepare our so-called people pipeline, which is a key element to support our growth. The hospitality program, which aims to place the student as the reason for our existence, allowing us to improve our service levels. The academic model, which was developed by 8,000 professors and is extremely innovative in higher education. And also the shared services center, which has 300 employees and integrates and standardizes all transactional activities, technologies, and processes. Also aligned with the practice mentioned by author Jim Collins, indicated at the beginning of this presentation, here at Estácio, we always had great care and attention, not to say an obsession, in relation to things that were not in our control. That is why, over these last few years, we tried to avoid to rely too much on strategies that did not depend solely on us, and to take risks that could create more difficulties in the tougher times. On slide number 10, we can clearly see this strategy put into action when you talk about a smaller exposure to FIES and Pronatec, and when we mention the enormous diligence we have when it comes to making bigger M&A moves at the expense of our financial conditions, even when the scenario seems so favorable. In other words, we are paranoid with what could suddenly change and then jeopardize the sustainability of our business. All this is only valuable, however, if we deliver strong results, even in adverse times. In other words, only if we can march our 20 miles, even during periods of storm, which are inevitable in the journey of any company. On slide 11, we can see that this seems to be our case. On the left part of the slide, we can see the main financial results for the first quarter 2015. We highlight the net revenue, which grew 34.2% over first quarter last year, and the EBITDA totaling 195.9 million reais, a 51% growth over the first quarter 2014, for a margin expansion of 3.1 percentage points, fully in line with what we expected for the more favorable times, and hence, fully in line with our 20-mile march. In parallel, observing the right side of the slide, it is important to highlight our financial soundness. We are in a comfortable and safe position to deal with this possibly more difficult time for the education sector. We have a 721 million cash position and a low leverage balance sheet. Our net debt is 163 million reais, and our short-term debt amounts only to 243 million reais. In addition, we have a good rating, which we got confirmed in our recent bond issuance. Besides, our entire organization is fully in place. Standards, systems, processes, models, management, and culture. Plus, we are not involved in any complex integration. In a nutshell, I can say that we are prepared to comfortably continue our march in a firm, safe, and steady way, despite a more difficult terrain. I will now hand over to Virgilio, who will give more details on our results.
Thank you, Melzi, and good morning, everyone. To begin, I would like to draw your attention to slide number 12, which shows our operating results. The first chart shows the student base at the end of the first quarter, which totaled 527.9 thousand students, up by 33.8% in comparison to the same period last year. 369.3 thousand of those were enrolled in on-campus courses and 101.9 thousand in distance learning programs, besides the 56.7 thousand acquired students in the period. Under the same shops concept, not consider the four acquisitions made in the last 12 months, the student base grew organically by 19.4%. The chart on the side shows that the net operating results increased by 34.2% in comparison to first quarter last year, totaling 722.3 million reais. This increase is a result of the organic growth of the student base and the integration of the acquired companies. Under the same shops concept, the net operating revenue grew by 22.4% in the quarter. The table on the lower part of the slide shows that first quarter 2015, the average on-campus ticket went up by 5%, slightly below inflation, basically due to the higher level of scholarships and discounts used during the intake process, given the more adverse scenario resulting from the FIES restriction faced by our students and candidates. We expect to see a bigger increase in second quarter 2015, reflecting our strategy to pass at least inflation to our price. The distance learning average ticket, ex UNICEF, went down by 3.7% in the quarter, which explained by the higher level of scholarships and discounts adopted for 2015 first half intake process, as well the growth of EADMIS, Distance Learning Plus, which has a lower ticket than the traditional distance learning program. Now moving to slide 13, I'd like to talk a bit about our retention project. Given the recent FIES changes, we can't deny that the alert sign is on and that the dropout rate is our biggest challenge for the second semester. Therefore, we created two specific work fronts, one preventive and the other corrective. The preventive front is focused on three pillars, academic, financial, and qualitative. The academic pillar has the following initiatives. Tutoring classes for the disciplines with higher flunk rates, aiming to level the performance of the students in the first period in a higher education institution. Professor sponsor project. Analysis of students' performance indicators, centrally monitoring absenteeism rates and student academic performance, allowing course coordinators to act immediately in order to prevent the students from dropping out. The financial pillar has the following main initiatives. Monitoring students who are trying to contract FIES with the prior offer of alternatives such as Pravaler. Contact with delinquent students. Finally, the qualitative front aims to look at the satisfaction level of our students by monitoring the compliance and requirements, which are centralized, and then contacting this student to deal with issues that might lead to dropouts. For the corrective front, we create a specific retention cell in every Stasio unit, with fully dedicated personnel. All of the campus managers must now participate in the enrollment suspension interviews, and that has been leveraged our reversal rate in this case. We are fostering the culture that every student who drops out means that we are failing our mission as a higher education institution. At the same time, we have included several indicators in the manager's targets, so the retention indicator has already become an important pillar of our culture. In addition, we have an initiative in progress for the second half, building a predictive model for the dropout control using the big data concept. Moving now to slide 14, we can see the vertical analysis of our costs and expenses. In first quarter 2015, the cash cost to net revenue ratio recorded a 2.6 percentage points improvement over first quarter last year, mainly as a result of the 1.8 percentage point gain in salaries and payroll charges, which reflects our ability to use the management system, the internal and external benchmarks, and the constant improvement in processes such as class planning, resulting in faculty cost efficiency gains. Also, the gradual increase in the distance learning segment share on our operation continued to contribute to the margin expansion process. Selling expenses represented 7.5% of net operating revenue in first quarter 2015, increasing by 1.5 percentage points as a result of the 0.8 percentage point improvement in PDA, reflecting the growing efficiency of our collection efforts since last year and the 0.7 percentage point improvement in marketing. On the other hand, G&A expenses corresponded to 12.5% of net revenue in first quarter, 0.5 percentage point higher than last year, mainly due to the 8.3 million reais increase in the institutional events line related to our sponsorship of the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. However, it's worth emphasizing that there was a corresponding counter entry under revenue in the others line related to the training we offer to the volunteers who will help at the event, so that the effect on the operating results EBITDA was nil, impacting the period margins only. Excluding the accounting effect from the Olympic Games sponsorship, G&A expense would have represented 11.5% of net revenue, a 0.5 percentage point improvement over first quarter last year. Moving to slide 15, we can see the evolution of our EBITDA in the quarter, which totaled 195.9 million reais, up by 51.4% from an EBITDA margin of 27.1%, 3.1 percentage points above last year. This gain is explained mainly to the efficient gains from the cost of services and selling expenses. For its part, net income came to 130.6 million reais, 3.8% above the number recorded in the first quarter 2014. On slide 16, I would like to show the main variations on the net income. In the first quarter 2015, the net income was negatively affected by a worse financial results, given the lower income from financial investments explained by the lower cash position, the increase in the interest and financial charge lines given our higher debt level and the increase of the interbank deposit rate in the period, and the 2.5 million reais impact related to the foreign currency loan registered in March. This amount already considers the foreign exchange debt impacts in the swap. It's worth noting that the exchange rate variation is fully hedged by the swap contract. It's worth remembering that in first quarter 2014, we recognized 16.6 million reais one-off tax credit related to recoverable peace credits, which jeopardized the year-on-year comparison. The increase in depreciation and amortization also affected the net income, mainly as a result of 8 million reais related to the amortization of the goodwill from the acquisitions concluded in 2014, being UNICEF the most relevant. The one-time impact related to real estate decommissioning expenses in the amount of 2.5 million reais and the increase in the amortization of IT projects. Moving to slide 17, we can see our accounts receivable. The number of net student receivable days, tuition and agreements, including FIES receivables and FIES net revenues, averaged 96 days in fourth quarter 2014, in first quarter 2015, 12 above first quarter last year. Excluding FIES net revenues and FIES receivables, the net average receivables days come to 89 days, an increase of 2 days over last year. We remain firm with our collection and delinquency-oriented initiatives, which showed results in 2014. We centralized our collection sales and fully revamped the management of our collection partners. Besides, we began to collect the old receivable portfolio internally with a lot of success, instead of selling it to a collection firm, while at the same time we have been tracking the evolution of our receivable and collection indicator on a weekly basis with specific targets for each campus. Finally, we have a number of specific campaigns focusing especially on payment in cash or credit card in anticipation of tuitions, in addition to the specific communication for freshmen knowing of their greater propensity to default and subsequently drop out. In fact, we have a good sign for this indicator, and even in a more adverse scenario, our collection receivables ratio is in the same level of last year. Now let's move to slide 18. Our FIES accounts receivable total 325.9 million reais, an increase of 176.2 million reais in relation to fourth quarter 2014, as a result of the new schedule for the transfers and buyback auctions of ES certificates as announced in December, and mostly due to the delay in the transfer of certificates, which should have happened in February, but only actually happened in March, which means that the balance of certificates could only be sold back to the FNDE in the buyback auction held in April. Furthermore, we have the natural concentration of the amendment process of old contracts, which this semester was jeopardized by the problems and imposed restriction in CIS FIES. The average FIES days receivable came to 132 days in first quarter this year, 52 days more than fourth quarter 2014. Adjusting for the delays in the transfer and buyback mentioned above, the adjusted average FIES days received would have been 104 days. Slide 19 shows our cash flow for the quarter. In first quarter 2015, we recorded a negative operational cash flow of 92.5 million reais, which was impacted by the new FIES certificate schedule for transfers and buyback auctions valid for 2015. However, our cash generation suffered even further this quarter with the delay in the transfer of certificates, which was scheduled for February but only actually happening in March, which means we could only participate in the buyback auction held in April, causing an impact of 87.2 million reais in this quarter. Operational cash flow before capex came to negative 31.7 million in the first quarter, mainly to the new FIES payment schedule and the delay mentioned above. Moving on to slide 20, I would like to talk a bit about UNICEB and its intake process. The substantial increase in distance learning intake in the first semester of 2015 was due to a combination of the following factors. The inclusion of all accredited UNICEB centers in STASM enrollment portal, as well as via UNICEB on portal. The offer of a wider range of courses. The offer of an online modality. Campaigns associating the Estácio brand with UNICEB, and the positive impact of TV media and our business model on centers close to Estácio units. Intake also moved up substantially over previous year in the on-campus undergraduate segment, as shown in the table below, mainly as a result of the following factors. It was the first intake handled by Estácio with the full use of our enrollment-related corporate structure and intelligent framework. Investment in local relationships, companies and schools, and the TV campaigns. Also, the comprehensive sensitivity analysis using the second half of 2015 intake data in comparison to local competitors in order to prepare ourselves for the 2015 first half intake process. The significant growth in the total base over the previous quarter months is already a result of the three successful intakes process after UNICEB was incorporated, reverting the stability trend of the student base observed during the second half of last year. On slide 21, we show that FIES student base totaled 132.6 thousand students in March versus 122.7 thousand in December, representing 36.9% of our on-campus undergrad base at the end of first quarter 2015. Despite the difficulties and restrictions related to the CCS, the process of contracted FIES continued, and by April 30, we had a total of 141.4 thousand FIES students. At this moment, we are concentrating our efforts and attention on retaining these students who opted to enroll in our institution, especially those who showed an interest in FIES but were unable to complete the process. One of the tools we are using of a lot of success is Pravaler, in association with Ideal Invest, which has proven to be an attractive financial alternative for our students. Until April 30, around 3,000 students had signed in with Pravaler, and the application process continued throughout the semester, helping in the retention of students who were not able to get new FIES contracts. I will now hand the presentation over to Mel for the final comments and conclusion. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Virgilio. In this final part of our presentation, I'd like to talk about our strategy for 2015. After the general surprise with the FIES changes leveraged by very negative expectations regarding the country's performance, I can say that today we have a plan to conduct Estácio during this period of greater uncertainty. But yes, the scenario changes are inevitable over the years, and sooner or later will affect any company, sector, or region. It is very good that this happened in a period when our company is well prepared to face greater adversity. However, I cannot credit this to the luck factor. On the contrary, I think that over the last few years, when we lived a very positive external environment, marketed by widespread euphoria with the sector, and as we watch our competitors making strategic moves that have generated questions about our eventual conservatism, we established our pace and grew healthily, and without ever failing to consider the possibility that winds could change. Because of it, and only because of it, I believe that in 2015, we will once again deliver strong results, in line with the pace of growth and expansion that we saw in recent years. Aside from operating cash flow, strongly impacted by the effects of Normative Ordinance 23, which generated a substantial increase in FIES receivables for the year of 2015, our commitment is to seek sustainable growth in all our key indicators, including volume, growth, financial, quality, satisfaction, max scores and evaluations, delinquency, dropouts, and so on. In other words, our commitment is to march another 20 miles, even in the most arid terrain that currently characterizes our scenario. So, our strategy is the same as in previous years, punctuated by one or another specific task that is more focused on 2015. We will grow our student base, both organic and inorganically. We will grow our distance learning operation, with real chances to increase our number of distance learning centers. We will continue to strongly grow our new businesses area, which seems to be a promising way in terms of diversification. Thus, we will grow our revenues, increase our EBITDA and our net income, and we will have margin gains once again. At the same time, aware of the difficulties imposed by a scenario under FIES restrictions and more pressure resulting from the fiscal adjustments promoted by the government, we increased our level of attention to the indicators of dropouts and delinquency. The result is that the semester accumulated dropouts until the beginning of May, I can say until yesterday, remains at the same levels of the previous year in absolute terms, which means actual efficiency gains in comparison to 2014, when we did not have all these negative externalities to threaten our student base. Also, we double our attention to the indicators related to cash management and put in place some projects to further improve our financial health. Still, we know that marching 20 miles in an adverse year cannot mean only to keep generating consistent results compared to the previous period. Rather, it also implies the planting of new seeds for future years, which requires courage, focus, and determination of our entire team, which, by the way, at this point in time, is aligned to our culture, committed to our results, and aware of their role in our company. We also intend to be alert to the opportunities created by the crisis, which, in case it lasts for a long time, can ease the way for consolidation movements. Finally, I highlight that in 2015, Estácio completes 45 years of a very beautiful history that began with the dream of an entrepreneur, Mr. João Ochoa, in a small house in Rio de Janeiro during the tough times of the dictatorship in our country. Since then, there have been many serious crises which we had to overcome, including real economic depressions, changing macroeconomic and political environments, unpredictable economic plans, defaults, extreme regulatory changes, failure of public funding programs for higher education students, and so on. Estácio not only survived all this, but adopting Darwin's laws for companies, grew in adversity and managed to occupy a prominent place in the Brazilian scenario, combining all the competitive advantages and resilience created during its first 40 years with modern management practices, planning, and meritocracy implemented over the last 5 years. It is precisely the strength of this combination that gives us high confidence about our future and which makes us believe that our people, our culture, and our management system will carry us forward in any situation. It is the strength of this combination that we want to demonstrate to all our stakeholders in 2015, not only through a brilliant result, but also through an increasing brand awareness in all spheres of our society. So we made 2015 the year of our brand, the year of Estácio, or, as we call it internally, the diamond year, referring to our logo. Thus, I conclude our presentation with slide number 23, celebrating our 45th birthday, while you're already thinking in quite a paranoid way about the next 45 years. So these were our comments for today. We will now open up for questions and answers. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial *1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing *2. The first question will come from Bruno Giardino of Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, or good morning, everyone. My first question is regarding the outlook for the year. Considering there are no catastrophic events in Brazilian economy, should we expect the same level of margin expansion for the next quarters that we saw in the first quarter, 300 and something bips of margin expansion? And the second question, Melzi, could you please comment on the M&A environment in Brazil? You keep saying that Estácio hasn't spent its silver bullet for a big acquisition. Would you say that 2015 is the year to do so? Thank you.
All right, Bruno. Thanks for your questions. Those are both of them very interesting. Outlook for the year. You know, we don't give guidance. You know, it's a strategy that we want to keep following. But in the previous years or in the last years, we can say that the first quarter results have been a proxy for the remaining of the year. So things that happened in the first quarter ended up happening in the other quarters as well. As you said, assuming that things will be in place. So in that context, I think, yes, that could be a good proxy for you for the remaining of the year. Now I have one pro and one con for you to consider when talking about this forecast, okay? And again, not a guidance. I'm talking about potential scenarios. The good thing is that as much as I believe it was an outstanding result, considering what is happening in Brazil and, you know, the expectations of everybody, I think this is an outstanding result, you know, growing more than 50% year over year and so forth. The truth is that we haven't reached our internal targets. So we still have some room to cover here in the sense that we had to give more discounts in the beginning of the year to be able to build our student base. And obviously all the actions we plan when this thing with FIES happened, including, you know, a different behavior in terms of costs and expenses, obviously didn't have time to put everything in place. We have the plan, we have people acting on that, people taking care of that. But the truth is that positive effects coming out of this strategy shall be seen over the next quarters or so. What I mean is that as much as we are happy with our performance when comparing to last year, it's not enough for us to fulfill our targets. And we are going to chase this target in a very intense way. We are prepared to deliver an outstanding result this year. So this is on the positive side. On the other side, obviously, there is a lot of uncertainty in this year. And I think right now, we are not so uncertain anymore when it comes to dropouts in the second quarter. We think we feel much better about that because we're monitoring in a very close way because we have a lot of tools in place. So I think our next question will be what will happen in the second semester in terms of new students. And for that, obviously, we don't have an answer yet. We don't know how, you know, it will be with CS. We don't know how the economy in Brazil will be. We don't know how demand will behave. So there is a big question mark. What I can tell you is that the first trends for the second semester in terms of demand seems to be similar to what we saw in the previous semesters. This is the way we monitor demand here, checking a lot of KPIs we usually follow in the Brazilian environment. So until now, the signs are neutral to good in terms of compared to last year. But you know, at this point in time, it's really impossible to talk about anything that may happen in the second semester. So you have this positive effect, the fact that we are not happy, you know, with the kind of performance we achieved because we don't have time to put all of our plans in place, which means that as we chase these results, there is room for even better results than the one we saw in the first quarter. On the other hand, to offset that eventually, we have a lot of uncertainty when it comes to the second semester in terms of number of new students. As for your second question, it is true. We haven't used our silver bullet yet. It is also a strategy. We had some chance in the past. Eventually, could have done something, but we didn't feel it was either the right time or the best possible conditions for us to go ahead and finalize these opportunities we had. I do think that over the next semesters or so, we may have more opportunities coming to us. I think that if this crisis keeps going, if other companies feel like the scenario won't be as positive, when they look at us and see that we have a very organized company, that we are very receptive, you know, to other cultures, we are very receptive to good people, to great talent, to other, you know, academic models, that you can combine strengths to create an even stronger company. I think when we go to the table, we may be able to build something. Our willingness is to keep our eye very open for these opportunities. We think this kind of a negative external scenario may end up helping us to build something big. So I think eventually you are in better shape than ever to go after this kind of opportunities. Obviously, I cannot tell you whether it's going to happen or not, but I can tell you that the possibilities are higher than they were a year ago when we were in that bullish scenario.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
The next question will come from Vera Rossi of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Could you talk about the buyback process of the FIES receivables? The regulation this year says that there will be a buyback of up to 8 calendar months. So do you still expect 8, or with the delays we have seen in the first quarter, we may not reach 8 calendar months for this year?
Vera, this is Mels. I expect 8 because, you know, that's a commitment. I was in Brazil a couple of days ago talking to the Minister of Education, also with the Minister of Economy, and there is this commitment, you know, that's what they're expected to do, and I see no reason for them not to fulfill this commitment, because we are already carrying a very heavy burden, and I know there's a limit for everything. So there was a delay in the first month. We got this in April. We got the second one about 2 days ago, the second issuance, right, happened for February, although there were obviously few contracts in February because of this slowdown with the CISFIES thing. But I think as time goes by, things will get back to normal. And the reason for that, I think, is twofold. On one hand, it is a commitment, and again, they need to do at least what they told they would do this year, given that, as I mentioned before, they already put a lot of pressure in our cash flow. But number two is because of credibility. At the end of the day, FIES is a very strong flagship for the Labor Party. We all in Brazil know that. So I really believe that if they keep behaving in a wrong way in terms of fulfilling their commitment for FIES, the entire program will be put at risk. And I think they really don't want that to happen. So I think they're facing a very tough time now in 2015. I think it is specific for 2015. The new ministry is very enthusiastic about FIES. He's been acting with us in a much more transparent way, talking about the difficulties, talking about the future. And they keep reinforcing that FIES is really strategic for the country. So I think they have no reason to fail when it comes to paying us at least for these 8 months in 2015. That's my expectation. I can be wrong, but I'm basing this information on what I heard from them over the last 10 days, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1. The next question will come from Maria Azevedo of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. Could you please maybe comment a bit on your retention strategy going forward, and what kind of dropouts and receivables days should we expect throughout the year, assuming that the current macro environment will maintain and no further FIES new contracts for the second half of the year?
Okay, hi Maria. I will talk on some points, and then Virgilio can help me if you want. You know, we don't work with guidances, and again, especially in a year like 2015, with all those uncertainties, it really makes sense for us to change the strategy now. So no guidances. What I can tell you is what is happening right now. When we think of dropouts of retention, it's surprising that until now, as I mentioned during our speech, that until now, and I'm talking about yesterday, May the 6th, right? So therefore, a week after the deadline for FIES new contracts, It's amazing that we are in absolute numbers below last year. Now think about that, in absolute numbers, while our student base has been growing 30%+ year over year. And so why, and I think the same goes for delinquency until now, we monitor that on a daily basis, almost on an hourly basis actually, to be sincere with you, and the levels until now, until yesterday, were pretty similar to the levels of delinquency we are facing in the last year in a very different external scenario. But why this is happening? As much as we don't want to give, you know, a guidance, the truth is that we last year woke up for this retention opportunity, I would say. I was mentioning in the other call that Estácio has been always very alert when it comes to bringing new students in, admission cycle and so forth. You can easily get the entire, you know, company aligned around these targets and get everybody engaged, involved in these targets. We also developed over these last years a good ability to drive people's attention here to what you call renewal process. And this is the one that happens at the end of the semester when students need to come back for the following term. So admissions and renewal processes, I would say that they are already part of our culture, part of our management system. So things work fine and you see a lot of evolution as years go by, as I show in the presentation. The one thing we didn't pay attention, and I cannot tell you why, there's no reason for that. Maybe we missed the opportunity. But this one thing has to do with what we call here in Estácio evasion. And this is the dropouts that happen during a semester. We didn't look very much at that. Until last year, our team in the distance learning segment woke up for the fact that they were losing thousands of students during the semester. And nobody was looking in a very careful way to these students. So they came up with a lot of ideas. Some of them, I can tell you, like they started paying much more attention to students who were not, for example, logging into their system, students who were failing with their grades, students who were complaining a lot in our internal systems here. They started mapping all those things, and then they got professors and course coordinators involved in trying to retain these students. And it was a quick and huge success. They got 3 or 4 percentage points of improvement within that first semester. So when we saw that in the second semester, we decided to do the same thing for the on-campus segment. And again, I'm talking about a time when we didn't have problems with FIES. So I don't know if luck play something here or not, but the truth is that in the second semester last year, before FIES changed, we were already taking into account the possibility that this dropouts during the semester would be a great opportunity for 2015. So we created a team here, we created a lot of KPIs, we assigned a lot of targets for reducing these dropouts. We applied pretty much our technology in terms of managerial systems to deal with this opportunity for 2015. And then the tsunami with VS came. And when things changed, we had a lot of stuff already in place. So these techniques, and Virgilio covered some of them during his speech, but they go all the way from corrective actions, as we call. So when a student says clearly that he or she wants to drop out, we call this student for an interview and try to change his or her mind. It's working pretty fine now. We have preventive actions. When we see that students are starting giving signs that they will want to drop out, we already call these students and try to offer an alternative. For example, if they have problems with, their financials or so forth, or if they have academic problems, we try to offer reinforcement classes and so forth. But we are now working on a model which goes one step beyond that. And we are calling this a predictive model using big data technology that will try to tell us what are the students that are more likely to go through this process or to this problem even before they join us during their enrollment process. So if we know who are these students, we can have some professors or some managers looking at these students in a much more careful way, therefore trying to prevent them from taking those steps towards dropout. So it's a handful of activities, technologies, all of them combined with our, I would say, biggest strength, which is an organizational culture, people's alignment, and our management system. What I can tell you is that because we were not looking at that, there are a lot of low-hanging fruits there to be caught. And that's what we are doing right now. It doesn't mean that we are not having trouble with FIES or students who didn't get FIES, but it does mean that all these opportunities that we didn't look before are, at least until now, are being enough. They have been enough for us to fully offset eventual losses we are facing through FIES. That's great. That happened right now. That is awesome that we had this in place. And this is one of the reasons I was mentioned that if we were to face a crisis, I think it is great that we're doing that in such a nice shape here when it comes to our people, when it comes to our culture, when it comes to our management system.
Hi, Maria. Just to add something about the receivables, when you are considering that we have this schedule already given by the government of all the buybacks and the issue program that we have for the entire 2015, the days of receivable for our FIES is already given. So that depends if they are going to follow the schedule that they said or not. So what we can do at this time here is to be very efficient after issuing the certificates, trying to use in a very fast way these certificates to pay our federal taxes monthly based. Second is what we are doing if our non-FIES receivables, as Melzi just said, that depends a lot on this all the success of this retention program that we are doing right now, and all the renewal rates that we are going to have for the second semester. So I really expect that we are going to be more flat in XCS receivables year over year than any strong increase or decrease when you compare to the same quarter last year. So I think a good result for us at what we are looking for, even with all this difficulty created by the new schedule of FIES and all this noise that we are seeing in the sector, having some flat XCS would be a very good result for us.
For sure. Thank you very much, Virgilio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Rogério Melzi for his final remarks.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for participating in this call about Estácio's results. I just want to finish by reaffirming that we remain quite confident in our ability to generate strong results even in adverse scenarios. Thanks to all we've been building during the years of favorable environment, we live in the education segment. I also emphasize that it is exactly an adverse scenario, such as the one we are currently living, that will allow us to show the power of the strategy we adopted several years ago as we march our 20 miles in a very determined and disciplined way. Our IR team is always here at your disposal, and so are Virgilio and myself. So hope to see you all soon. Thank you once again, and you all, we have a great day.
This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.